Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
So much for listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning. My name is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. We're glad that you've chosen to tune in this morning. We're going to get right back this week to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and we're going to be in verse 12 this morning. Now, the last time we were here in in James chapter 5, we were talking about Job. So he was using Job as an example of the kind of perseverance that we are to have. Remember in verse 11 when he says, "As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." And so as God's people, James was exhorting them to say, listen, Job persevered through all of the things of life that were recorded about him. We need to do the same thing. Just like Cal, a man at the church here, often likes to tell us that Christianity is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's not just little things. It's a whole long process of life. And yet, it's an awesome way to live. And so here in James chapter 5 and verse 12, let's read that together. James 5 and verse 12, he says, "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you'll be condemned." Wow, that's kind of short, sweet, and to the point, isn't it? I love James because he's just, there it is. You know, this is what you're not to do. Here's what you are to do. Otherwise, you stand in judgment. All right. So when he says above all, it's pretty unlikely that James is thinking here that this topic of swearing is like the greatest, most important thing that he's said in his letter so far. And yet it kind of carries more the idea of above all, or, you know, this is especially important as we kind of come down to the end of the letter here. He's really making a point about how important, again, our speech is. Because remember, like Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The words that we use very many times shows us what's going on underneath. And yet, unfortunately, we know that we live in a world full of lies, full of people who tell lies. The devil is called the father of lies. And so we need to be very careful and conscientious about our speech. And this is nothing new for James in his letter, right? Remember back in chapter 1 and verse 26, he told those that were reading this letter, including us, those who consider themselves religious, excuse me, and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Now, James is concerned about the tongue. Look at chapter 2 and verse 12. Again, he exhorts us to speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Okay, so speak and act. In James chapter 3, of course, all the way from verse 2 down through 11, He's talking about the seriousness of the tongue and how it can cause much problems, and he exhorts us to make sure that praise and cursing aren't coming out of the same mouth. All right, we need to make sure that our tongues are in line with God's will and the power of His Spirit. In James chapter 4 and verse 11, he says, "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another." Again, using our words, using our mouth. "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it." So there again, that unrighteous judgment, that just, you know, looking at externals and bringing things against people. And so it's very important that we make sure that our speech is good before God. So let's go back to what James is saying here. He says, "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear." All right. Now I want you to see there that he's not making a suggestion again. He writes and says, "Do not swear. Do not swear." Now, sometimes people tell me when they talk to me about the Bible, they say, "Oh, well, you know, the Bible's just a bunch of don't do this and don't do this and don't do this and don't do that." Well, there is a lot of don't do this and don't do that. And there's a reason for that, because the kind of swearing that James is talking about here is not good. Okay, it's not good. And so this is why he's saying, don't do this. I mean, sometimes people act like they're offended if somebody tells them not to do something. "Oh, well, who are you to tell me?" Well, come on, there's some things that are right and there's some things that are wrong in this life. And if we're doing something wrong and somebody tells us to stop it or don't do that, we ought to listen to them, shouldn't we? Instead of getting our back all riled up that, you know, well, somebody told me that I shouldn't do this. Well, if they're right, don't do it. And James obviously is addressing an issue that was going on here amongst his readers, especially at the time, that he was saying, this has got to stop. This is something that's happening, and it needs to stop. Okay, it's not an option. Do not swear, he says. Now, when he says swear, this isn't what we would say as cussing. This isn't cussing. This isn't, you know, four-letter words. This isn't a bunch of dirty talk. Although the Bible addresses that too. When Paul, the apostle, wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4, he addresses that particular side of the sin of the tongue. He says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4, "Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." So when James is talking here, he's not talking about cussing, okay? I just wanted to establish that. What he's talking about here is taking oaths, okay? Swearing, taking an oath. I swear to God, okay? Along those lines. That's the kind of things he's talking about here. Now, obviously, this does not prohibit, you know, any kind of oath, period, at all. As you go through the scriptures, and I'm not going to do that with this particular broadcast this morning, if you're really interested in following this up, you do a Bible study on oaths and swearing and everything else, and be happy to get together with you, and you can tell me what you found out, and we can talk about these things together. But right now, I just want to let you know that obviously from the scriptures, this isn't talking about formal kind of oaths. Okay, the kind of oaths, say like in a courtroom situation where there are some serious proceedings going on here, and it's a matter of, you know, coming to a right judgment, and maybe there's people, and probably will be other people in the jury and the judge and everybody that's there, that they don't know you. They don't know who you are particularly. And so they ask you to take an oath. You know, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. And it's the idea that you are saying, yes, I agree to tell the truth. And you're binding yourself by that, especially before God, to tell the truth. And that's kind of a, you know, to let people know that they can depend on what you're going to say. Same thing, you know, during different transactions or, you know, more formal things. There's nothing wrong with an oath at that time. Hey, you know, during weddings, okay, couples take vows. They're taking an oath. They're swearing, if you would, before a whole bunch of people. And the reason they're doing that is not because they don't know each other, but because they want everybody to know, hey, this isn't just some minor little thing we're doing. I vow before God to love you and cherish you and keep you in sickness and in health and richer and poorer and whatever other vows they make. I sure wish more people would keep their vows. You know, it's really unfortunate how many people make such vows to each other when they get married and then, you know, some very, very shortly give it all up. I want a divorce, and they don't want to keep the vows that they made. Sometimes my last 20 or 30 years and they give them up. They're still giving them up. The point is, when you make a vow, you make an oath, you keep it, and you keep it under those circumstances. And so we're not talking about those kind of oaths. James isn't saying, you know, don't get involved in anything like that. He's talking more about the kind of casual, you know, conversational, sometimes even flippant way that people just swear and take oaths and say this and say that. And unfortunately, those kind of conversational, casual kind of oaths many times are thrown out with the intent to deceive others. They're trying to sound good, but really they don't want to keep their oath. So let's look at a couple of scriptures right now just to show you the difference between what James is talking about here. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 13, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13, Moses talking to the people of Israel before they're getting ready to go back into the promised land. Second time, they already tried once, and because of their rebellion, they were turned away and had to wander around out in the desert for another 38 years. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13, he says, "Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name." Okay, did you get that? Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Okay, so obviously there were a taking of oaths in that aspect. Let me give you an example of when someone might have done that. Go back to Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22. And let's start reading in verse 10. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 10. Listen, it says, "If anyone gives a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any other animal to their neighbor for safekeeping, and it dies, or is injured, or is taken away while no one is looking, the issue between them will be settled by the taking of an oath before the Lord that the neighbor did not lay hands on the other person's property. The owner is to accept this, and no restitution is required." Okay, so that was a situation where this happened, and wow, I have no idea how this happened. Well, they were to take an oath before the Lord that this was the way it was going to be. So, in other words, here's the thing. A lot of times, in those times when there weren't written contracts and all of the written legalese and stuff that we have today in some of our formal contracts. In those times when written contracts didn't exist, oaths served as a way to bind an agreement between two people. So what they said or agreed upon or acted, that it was witnessed by God. Both people are saying, okay, you know, we're doing this before God. God is a witness of the truthfulness of this, and he heard what we said and what we agreed on. God is our witness. And it was also, at the same time, it was invoking God to bring about punishment and judgment if the one who took the oath was lying or cheating or trying to be deceptive. That's kind of what the oath was when it was done before the Lord. And notice there in verse 11, it says, by the taking of an oath before the Lord. In other words, before the Lord, in the Lord's name, calling upon God. All right? And this is why in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 7, when it talks about don't take the Lord, the name of the Lord your God in vain, okay, that's, you know, principally what that's talking about. Don't just, you know, use the Lord's name vainly, flippantly, casually. Okay, it's to be used lightly. It's still, whenever I hear people actually asking God to bring judgment, you know, do you realize when people say, God damn this, they're really asking God to bring about punishment and judgment, and usually they say that when something's already bad enough. And I used to tell people, wait, no, don't say that. Don't make it any worse than it is. Why don't you ask God to bless it instead? And so I just want you to realize here that oaths that were taken there were not condemned. Look at Numbers chapter 30. Numbers chapter 30 and verses 1 and 2. Moses said to the heads of the tribes of Israel, this is what the Lord commands. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. That's the really the foundation of an oath. That's what it's all about. When he makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself, he must not break his word. He must do everything that he said. All right? This is why when you go over to Ecclesiastes, let's just go over to Ecclesiastes here. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, kind of right in the middle of your Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This is why the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, this is why he said here in verse 1, Ecclesiastes 5:1, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know they do wrong. Verse 2, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. A dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Amen. It's better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. Wow, that's really good. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. And do not protest to the temple messenger, my vow is a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God. In other words, before you start swearing and taking oaths, you better be very careful to realize what was going on, okay, and what you're binding yourself here to. All right, so again, Not all oaths, not all swearing, if you were along those lines, are bad. In fact, in Psalm 110 and verse 4, concerning Jesus as the Messiah, in Psalm 110 and verse 4, it says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." All right, so even God is recorded there as taking an oath, as swearing, saying, "Listen, I swear you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Also over in Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13, when the promises that were made to Abraham were made, listen to what it says here in Hebrews 6:13. "When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you and give you many descendants.' And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised." Look at verse 16. "People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath." All right, so this was God's, you know, gracious saying, "Listen, I swear by myself. This is how serious I am about this. This is something that I'm willing to enter into and say, listen, this is how important it is." All right, so now, let's talk about what James is talking about then in 5:12. It's not any of the things that we've just talked about. Those are legitimate things. Those are part of formal oaths to call upon God to say, "Hey, we confirm this." But why is he saying here then in James 5:12, "Do not swear"? Okay, do not swear. He's talking about that casual, conversational, flippant, many times with the intent to deceive. He says, "Do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else." Okay, now where did he get this? Is this something new? Well, no, actually it's not, because if you go back to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus already addressed this kind of swearing. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. He says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows that you have made.'" Okay, so, you know, this is what was going on. Verse 34, "But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything else beyond this comes from the evil one." One of the things that they were doing was just swearing using all these other things. Okay, so it would be like, "Oh, I swear by heaven," or "I swear by the earth," or "I swear by Jerusalem," or "I swear by my head." The point is that you're just making all kinds of things. And frankly, you're swearing and taking oaths not in the name of the Lord, but in all these other things. Because if you do the other things, then you can quote unquote get out of it. Okay, that's what they were doing. That's what the religious leaders were doing. In fact, go over to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 16. Hey, Jesus again blasts them for this hypocrisy and taking oath. He says in verse 16, "Woe to you, you blind guides! You say if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple, or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on the altar, he's bound by that oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. Anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. In other words, quit just saying, okay, well, this one doesn't count, but this one does, or this one doesn't count, or this one does. They were basically doing what people do today where they say, oh, I promised to do something, and they've got their fingers crossed behind their back. And if you ask them, they say, oh, well, you know, I had my fingers crossed. Or somebody says, well, I'll try to get this done for you. And so you wait and you wait and you wait, and finally you ask them, it's like, hey, I thought you said you were going to do this. Oh, I didn't say I was going to. I just said I was going to try. All right? So listen, people. This is what it boils down to. In James chapter 5 and verse 12, he says, don't swear. Don't swear by heaven or earth or anything else. All you need to do is say yes or no. In other words, we need to be people of integrity. We need to be honest. We need to be truthful. We need to be straightforward. Our speech should be simple. We shouldn't have to take all these elaborate oaths, especially with the people we know. Okay? People of integrity have no need to swear oaths to convince others of their truthfulness. They just do what they say. You know, in fact, whenever people start trying to, you know, they're talking to me and they say, well, you know, I swear to God, or they talk to me about something, they say, oh, you know, I swear this is true, I swear to God, or swear this, or swear that, or sometimes people say, well, to be honest with you, oh, well, you mean you're not at other times? We need to be honest and above board and open all the time as God's people. Okay, the man who walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out, Proverbs 10:9 says. And so Christians, please, let's make sure that our speech isn't peppered with just I swear this and I'll try to do this and to be honest with you and do it. Let's just be people that when we say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. And we follow through and we make it happen. Now, sometimes we might forget some of those things and we'd have to be reminded about those things. But for the most part, let's leave out all of the oaths. And let's just be yes and no people. And so that God will be honored. In Psalm 19 and verse 14, I love Psalm 19, 14. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And we need to recognize that otherwise you'll be judged. God doesn't appreciate, just like we read there in Ecclesiastes 5, God doesn't appreciate people using him or taking an oath and then not fulfilling it. God doesn't approve of making a vow and then breaking up. God hates divorce. In Malachi chapter 3. And God hates it when people say they're going to do something and then they don't do it. And especially if they did it on purpose to deceive or lie or just take advantage of someone. God hates those kind of things. And so we need to be truthful people, not liars, not people that go about doing those things. All right? So great exhortation here from James chapter 5. We're the Church of Las Vegas. We'd love to meet you, get to know you a little bit better. You can come and join us on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. You can also go onto our website at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and find out more about us there. Thank you so very much for listening this morning. I hope this has challenged you, encouraged you, maybe caused you to maybe look into some of these things a little bit more for yourself. But whatever you do, just keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you.